Well, good morning, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, young people and friends, and welcome to all those also listening in online. So I'm joined on the platform today by our brother John McColl, who's prepared for us an exhortation on the theme of, by grace we have been created in the image of God. Read from Philippians 2 to introduce this for us a little bit later. Well, I think from those hymns we've got an inkling of where John's going in singing of praise to God for his creation and for the provision of his mercy seat, our Lord Jesus Christ. So a reminder, his theme is, by grace we have been created in the image of God. And so as an introduction to read from Philippians 2, verses 1 to 13 to introduce that for us.
Well, good morning, my dear brethren and sisters and friends. We are going to refer to this section of Scripture from Philippians a little bit later on. But to begin with, I would like you to turn with me back to Genesis chapter 1, please. We're going to start by considering this phrase in Genesis, created in the image of God. And we read it in Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28, where it reads, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Created in the image of God, male and female. That's what we've been, how we've been created. And people have often discussed this phrase, and often debated it over the years as to what it really means. And there's various options and aspects discussed, whether it's from a physical point of view, being created in the image of God, or whether it's a mental and spiritual. And in all truthfulness, it probably covers all of those things, and there are many aspects of this. And in the time that we've got this morning, I'm not going to be able to cover all of them. But we are going to cover one particular aspect, and that is the mental capability that we have. And to help explain my thoughts, we're going to consider a fairly left-field sort of a topic, and that is the topic of origami. And I don't mean origami specifically, but when I say the word origami, you know what I mean. It's the art of paper folding. And I would like you to make something out of paper. Now, you don't have to physically make it out of paper. We could probably do without all the rustling of paper this morning. But I want you to do it in your mind, to make something out of paper. Because it's a well-known process that when we make things, we make them twice. We first make them in our mind, when we make an image of what we want to make. And then the second time, we make it in reality. And so I just want you to do this in your mind. Make something out of paper. You might start with perhaps an A4 sheet of paper. Well, when you think about origami, most origami starts with a square of paper, doesn't it? While you're thinking about that and coming up with something that you would make out of paper, I want to share with you something personal. And I think, like many of us, we keep very personal things in our Bible covers that mean something quite special to us. And I'm going to share a couple of them with you. The first one I have here is a little blue paper aeroplane. I'll refold it because it gets flattened in my Bible cover. So that's something I keep in my Bible cover. The second thing that I have, I'll just put that one there, is a paper crane. an origami crane that I keep in my Bible cover. It's been made for many years, and I keep it there. And hopefully by the end of this exhortation, you will understand why I keep these in my Bible cover. Now, you may not have thought of anything yet, or you may not be as sort of creative as some of those ideas. If you're not sure what to make out of paper, you could even casually place a couple of hundred general folds into a piece of paper. It only takes a second, a couple of hundred general folds, and you can actually make a ball. There's a ball of paper. That's something that's made out of paper as well. So if you're not sure what to make, there's something as well. So while you've got that image in your mind of something that you would make out of paper, I'm going to ask you a series of questions about that particular paper object in your mind. And the first question is, whose decision was it to make that particular object? And of course the answer is, it was your decision, wasn't it? I might have suggested to you to make it from paper, but it was your decision as to what to make. And you might have come up with a couple of ideas, as I have there, as to what to make out of paper. And so the question is, well, did you make a couple of things different, or did you make them the same? And whose choice was that? And that was your choice as well, wasn't it? And why did you make them the same or different? And once again, it was your choice. And so now, let's make some comparisons between the paper creations that we have in our minds and ourselves. What are we made of? Genesis 2, verse 7 tells us that we are made from the dust of the earth. And we are all made from the same substance, from the dust of the earth. And so who made us? And of course, we know from Genesis chapter 1 there that it was God working through the angels, through the Elohim, to create us. Are we all the same, or are we different? And although we are of the same type, I think it's fair to say that we are all very different people. And so the question is, well, why are we so different? And we are different because that is God's choice. That's how God made us. If we get time later on, we'll explore that a little bit further. And so whose image are we created in? Of course, we are made in the image of God. Were any other parts of creation made in this image? No, they weren't. No other parts of creation were created in the image of God. The Genesis record clearly states that it was just mankind. It was male and female who were created in the image of God. And so what is this image that I'm alluding to? And I put it to you that the way in which we are created in the image of God is that we also have the ability to create. The ability to create things from our own ideas and our own imagination, just like you did with the paper creation that you have in mind. No other animals can make things based on their own imaginative ideas, can they? Animals will tend to live by instinct, conditioned by the environment that they live in. We, on the other hand, can think and create abstract ideas, can't we? Sometimes ideas completely separate from the situation that we're in. And then we work to make those ideas a reality, don't we? Now, having a creative mind is neither a good thing nor a bad thing. It is just a skill that we have. It is what we do with our creative mind and the choices we make that defines the value of our ideas as to whether they are good or bad. We can create ideas that fully support our way of life and the things of God. And we can create ideas that completely challenge and go against our way of life. So what's the significance of this? Why would God want us to have this ability to be able to create things? And I'd suggest that God had to give us this ability in order to get from us what he is after. Because what is God after from us? He wants our unconditional love, doesn't he? And the only way that God can get our unconditional love is to give us the ability to either love him or to love something else. But in order to have this freedom of choice, we have to have the ability to be able to create other gods, to create other things that we can love, and then make the conscious decision, do I love the things that I have created, or do I love the Creator who has made me? If you have your hymn books there, perhaps you could just open them back up to the hymn that we just sang. Hymn 102. And I draw your attention to verse 4, which reads, "Yet I may love thee too, O Lord, almighty as thou art, for thou hast stooped to ask of me the love of my poor heart." It's like God leans down and picks us up and holds us in his hand, and he says, "I want you to love me, please. But I want your unconditional love. And so I'm going to create you in my image, with the ability to create other things, with the ability to create other gods. And then you will have the freedom to choose to either to love me or to love the things that you create. But God hopes that we will unconditionally love him, doesn't he? And when we think about that, we can't help but think what a gracious and loving creator he is. By grace, we have been created in the image of God. I want you to continue to use your imagination with your paper creation. And ask yourself the question, if you could give it life, would you? And if you could give it life, would you want it to acknowledge you as its creator? Would you give it the freedom to choose to either to love you or to reject you? And even though we can't give things life, the things that we create, we still like to put a little bit of us into them, don't we? If you think about the many things that we do make in our lives. If you think, artists have been doing this for years, haven't they? When an artist paints a picture, not only is the picture in the style of the artist, but the artist will usually sign the picture, won't they? Down in the corner, they might sign it. They will put their image into it. If you run a business or you work for a large company, you might put your family name or the company logo into the things that you create. It's an image of the individual or of the company as the creator, isn't it? I mean, even more sort of abstractly, if you're a computer programmer, with inside the code, you still will put your name or your initials or something in there that's a little bit unique. And then you can show to people, ooh, if you click on this, whoop, pops this, that's mine, that's something I did. We do, don't we? We like to make things and we like to put our image, our little stamp on them. Come with me to Matthew chapter 22. Because Jesus discusses this situation. Matthew chapter 22. Jesus discusses this with the Pharisees and the Herodians here when they ask him about paying tribute to Caesar. And knowing what we know now about that we have been created in the image of God and that we have this ability to create, it becomes this parable becomes a very powerful lesson for us when we make decisions about where we are going in our lives. So I'm going to read just a small section from Matthew 22 and verse 17. And the couple of verses beforehand tell us that it's the Pharisees and the Herodians who come to Jesus. And they're trying to trick him, aren't they? And they say to Jesus in verse 17, "Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money." And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, "Whose is the image and the superscription?" And they said unto him, "Caesar's." Then saith he unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's." The things that are created in the image of God, should they not be given back to God for his use and his purpose? That's us, isn't it? Because we are of God. Is it not right that we who have been made in the image of God with the freedom to choose, that we should choose to give ourselves to God for his use and for his purpose? Because after all, we have been made in his image. Usually when we read this section of scripture, we tend to get perhaps a little bit too focused on the things that are Caesar's and with Caesar's image on it. And then just very briefly right at the end, Jesus mentioned then the things of God. But it's the things that are created in the image of God. They should be given to God. And that is us. Come back to your paper creation. The paper things that you have in mind, if you made them, did they get a say in how they were made? No, of course they didn't. And you might say, well, they're just paper objects, John. They can't think, they can't speak. But if you could give them life, and if you could give them a voice to speak, what would they say? Would they say, "Why did you make me into a paper plane?" Or maybe they might say, "Great, I'm a paper plane." Or perhaps the paper crane might say, "Why didn't you make me as a paper plane?" And the paper ball might say, "Why did you make me as a ball?" And we might think, well, that's a little bit absurd. Because they're just paper inanimate objects, aren't they? But if you could give them life, would you? Would you give them that freedom? Did you get a say in how you were made? And the answer's no, we didn't, did we? And this is a very personal and difficult question, isn't it? Because we don't always understand why we have been made the way we have been made, do we? We don't always understand why certain trials enter our lives. And we often wonder why sometimes life seems so unfair. And although we remind ourselves every day of Romans 8 verse 28 that says, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." But in the here and now, it's very difficult, isn't it, to accept that. It's very difficult sometimes to understand why God has made us the way that he has made us. And I have no doubt that in the kingdom we will get the answers to these questions, and it will seem all so clear then. But it doesn't necessarily make it any easier now, does it? Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Paul's letter to the Romans, in Romans chapter 9, he addresses this exact situation. And we might ask the question, do we have any right to question God in how he made us? And in theory and logically, we would say no, we don't. But in reality, we have been given the freedom to do just that, to question God. And we do, don't we? When life seems so unfair, we do question God. Well, in Romans chapter 9, Paul talks about this. And to begin with, I'll just read verse 14. "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid." Is there anything that God does that's not right? No. Everything that God does is right. Continuing on, in verse 20. "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honour and another unto dishonour?" We have been made in the image of God, and we are all different. And sometimes we struggle with the challenges of the way we have been made. But God has given us the freedom to question him, hasn't he? To either accept him or reject him. And that really is true, gracious love, isn't it? That God has created us and given us that freedom. And although God does have a say in what happens to this world, I mean, after all, he can destroy this world in an instant if he wants to, but he doesn't, because he is a loving and a patient father, and he waits for us to give our love to him. And not only has God created us in his image and allowed us the freedom to choose to love him, he has also given us his Son as a sacrifice to cover our sins for the times that we turn away from God, when we don't love him, and we turn away and we love things of our own creation. He gave us his Son to cover those times. Once again, just think about your little paper creation. If you could give it life, would you? If you could make it live, Would you want it to recognize you as its creator? And well, that question is all very hypothetical, isn't it? Because although we can create things from our own imagination, we can't make them live, can we? We are creators, but we are not gods. We cannot make things live. But Jesus could have, couldn't he? Jesus, who was born of a woman, created in the image of God as we are, created with the freedom to create his own ideas. Jesus had the freedom to choose between loving his Father or creating something else to love and rejecting his Father. And after Jesus was baptized, he received the power of the Holy Spirit without measure. There was no limit to how Jesus could exercise the power of the Holy Spirit. He could have created things and made them live. He could have made them bow down to him as God. And his temptations in the wilderness tell us that he created a vision where he is standing on a high mountain and he sees the kingdoms of the world in an instant and the possibility that they would all worship him as God. What a temptation that was. He could have made that happen. But he resists temptation. Come back to our reading in Philippians. And I think now we can get a far greater appreciation of the position that Jesus was in and what he has overcome, what he has achieved for us, the level of temptation that he has resisted. What did Jesus do when he discovered the form in which he was made? In Philippians 2, and we'll read verses 5 and 6. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Even though Jesus has the creative mind and the power of the Holy Spirit to be equal with God, he resisted the temptation, didn't he? And verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If anyone in God's creation was in a position to question God about why they were made a particular way, it would have been Jesus, wouldn't it? He could have so easily stood there and said, Father, why did you make me in the fashion of a man? I know what you want me to do, but how am I supposed to do your work in this weak mortal body? But he doesn't question his Father at all. He humbles himself and becomes obedient unto death for us. Will the things that you made, will they get a say in what happens to them? And the answer is no. They don't, do they? Do you get a say in what happens to you? And the answer is yes, we do, most definitely. Because that is the ability that God has given us. By grace, we have been created in the image of God. With a mind that can create different ideas and therefore the freedom to choose to love God unconditionally. That's the choice that we get to make. We may not always understand why we have been created in the way that we are, but we are God's creation. It is His choice. At the end of our reading, in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." And what is God's good pleasure? Luke 12, verse 32 tells us, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God." We are a work in progress, and by the grace of God, we have been given the ability to be able to create things and to make our own decisions, and we get to choose what our destination will be. And by choosing to give our lives to God and to His work, in the same way that Jesus chose to give His life to His Father, in service to God and for our benefit, Jesus gave His life. And we get to make that choice too. And so now we come to remember the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Saviour Jesus Christ.